Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Well, that could be my new announcement, the way I do it that way. Like, step right up and enjoy the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Today is May 21st, and we are glad to have you. Do you guys like that one or the old one? So we actually really are appreciative of you being here live. And, you know, those of you that are here on listening to this recording, we, of course, appreciate you as well. And if you, those of you that are here live are wondering how you can listen to the recording, you mean we didn't actually have to listen to this live? It's so early if I'm in California. It's 5:30 in the morning. And, well, you can listen to it via recording by going to motorvitality.com and listening to the archives or subscribing to Google Podcast or Apple Podcast or Stitcher or iHeartRadio or whatever podcast application you prefer to use, and you could listen to it that way. Just subscribe to Motor Vitality, and they will just automatically and magically show up on your listening device. Anyway, going to start the call off the way I do every morning, most Thursday mornings that we do this, and that is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Any questions or anything that we can help with?
Kelly?
Yes.
I do know.
Yes, Jen.
So this is just, it's not a question or anything, but it's something that's kind of, I still find to be kind of cool, is that yesterday at lunchtime, I happened to pop up on Facebook, and one of the first things that popped in and on my Positively Clarkston is somebody literally said, anybody out there that's willing to come out and sell me a water softener, it seems that ABC Water Company is still not open. And so, you know, I'm working with a company here in Michigan, and so I said, hey, we can come out tonight or tomorrow. And it was really interesting reading the thread after that, because, you know, there were a lot of people that referred a couple other companies that are pretty popular in the area and are, you know, what I consider to be reputable companies. But one of them had mentioned a company, and they said, hey, this company, I had them install years ago, and, you know, had the equipment from running great. The next response to that was, yeah, well, I purchased something from them, and I've been waiting for over 3 weeks for them to install my equipment because they can't get their workers to come back to work. And so my thought on that one is, what happens if you need service in that time? If they can't even get to you to install, what's going to happen when you have service? But, I can never stress enough. Now, I'm not saying sit on Facebook full time, but I can never stress enough. Pop in every once in a while and be involved in your local pages and, you know, check them out, because something, I mean, you couldn't even have asked for a more direct, you know, hey, I need a water softener. Can somebody come sell me one?
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty awesome. So we're running a 12:30 appointment today. The guy was very appreciative that I was offering an evening appointment. He said, you know, if he didn't already have something else he was doing, that he would have taken me up on that. But as luck had it, he had today off. So he was able to do that.
Yeah. So there's a lot there, right? So first off, the Maria, it occurred to me that maybe you and Jen should have a conversation, given all the stuff that you've been doing on Facebook groups. I know that Jen is pretty active on some of her locals, and she might be able to give you some ideas and tips on how to approach some of that stuff. So that's what one of the things that comes to mind, because I know you've been really working hard on that stuff. So the second thing is the importance of monitoring that so that you can, I mean, because I have seen those threads, things like that, go in a completely different direction, right? And so it, what if you were in that company, the one of the ones being spoken about, and you saw that thread and, you know, you responded back and, you know, you had an answer for it, you know, where you talked about, you know, maybe somebody in that company got COVID, you know, and maybe that would be, you know, something on there to be able to go back and say, you know, to let them know what the reasoning was and to apologize and to try and salvage that, because that's a great, you know what I mean, to address it. So, but yeah, being able to be active in that, to be able to participate in it, to monitor what people are saying, I think that's really, really important. So yeah, good one, Jen. Good one. You and I were also talking before the call. Does anybody else have anything to add or anything on that? Because I wanted to bring something else up that Jen and I were talking about before this. Anybody? Okay. So Jen and I were also talking, right, you know, before the call. We were talking about one of the customers that she actually, I think it was the same one that when Jen was speaking with the customer, he was saying things like, I have, you know, so I think I have iron bacteria, or I have ferrous iron in my water, is what he said. What do you, if a customer comes out and says to you that they have iron bacteria or ferrous iron, what's the first thing that goes through your mind if you hear somebody say that? Anybody? Except Jim?
Some other professional out there.
Thank you. Exactly. That was kind of what went through my mind as well, Stacy. Was that okay, because how many of you on this call before you came into the industry would have ever said, I think I have ferrous iron in my water or iron bacteria? What was that, Stacy?
Never in a million years.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's something I wanted to point out to you guys, is to listen for the clues that your customers tell you about, I mean, they will tell you things without even telling you. Okay. So, you know, when they start talking about their RO system, well, I was interested in an RO system. Customers usually, not always, but usually won't use the word, or, you know, use the initials RO. They don't call it an RO system usually. That's industry lingo. If they start talking about TDS in their water, that's industry lingo. If they start talking about ferrous or ferric iron, or, you know, that you can listen to the industry lingo, listen for those words, and it will give you a pretty good idea of whether or not they've had somebody, you know, out in their house. And that's sometimes, you know, Jen and I worked with a company several years ago in Ohio that it just sort of spread around where everybody was talking about iron bacteria. That's what made me think about this, was this company went out and diagnosed anytime they saw iron in the back of a toilet, you know. So when you have a lot of iron, you know, first off, most of you may or may not know, I'll mention this just in case there's new people who don't know this, but, you know, you lift the lid in the back of the toilet, that is what hardly anybody ever cleans that back there. And so there's really no better place to get an idea of what's happening in the inside the plumbing than in the back of the toilet, in the water closet of the toilet. You lift that up and you can open that up and it's like peering into the inside of their pipes, because that's, you know, the water comes in and that's where it sits. And so obviously it's exposed to oxygen. So if there's iron in the water, it turns from ferrous iron to ferric iron. And when you have a lot of iron, especially if you haven't cleaned that in a long time, that iron can build up on the side, and it'll create this wet sludge on the side of the toilets. And it's a dark orange brown, and it's like mud because it stays wet. You know, you think of iron when it oxidizes, you think of it as being really hard, you know, rusty, and it is, but in the back of the toilet, when it's submerged in the water, it's, it's just not uncommon for it to be like muddy, like a thick layer of muddy iron on the back of the toilet walls. And so we worked with this company in Ohio, and every time, and they had a lot of iron in the water, and they were constantly going in. Every time they'd see that sludge, they'd run their finger across it, and it would come out as this really gross, disgusting sludge. And they go, oh, look, you have iron bacteria. And they were selling these humongous, like, chlorination systems and you know, just a ton of stuff off of that, when in reality, it wasn't iron bacteria at all. It was just iron. You know, iron bacteria, you'll know iron bacteria when you see it. Iron bacteria itself creates these gelatinous globule things. I mean, it looks like, I mean, you'll know it. I'll describe it, and you'll open it up and see it someday, and you'll be like, oh, that's what it was. I mean, it creates these mushroom-like, really gross, floaty, globule things that it looks like jelly along the, you know, the top edge of the water. And it, when it gets really bad, I mean, there's just, it's like it grows back there. I mean, it's so gross. You know, so you have an idea. I mean, you'll know when you run across it then. But anyway, that was kind of a side topic on the difference between iron and iron bacteria. The point is that you're listening for clues on whether or not that customer has had somebody else out. That's what's going to prompt those questions. You know, so I the way I like to word the question, especially, I mean, I like to word it any time, but especially if they've given me a clue that they've had somebody else out, or if they've done some reading or something like that. I'll say, so have you had an opportunity to research water treatment? And then, which is asking, maybe they say, yeah, we've looked into it a little bit. Say, okay, where have you done that research? Has it been online? Have you had somebody else out to test your water? That's when they will tell you, you know, yeah, I read about some stuff online. Now, a lot of people, you know what ends up happening with a lot of salespeople? When somebody says, well, I had such and such come out. I had competitor A come out. And salespeople, a lot of times, will jump straight in to bashing competitor A. They'll start, oh, I can't believe those guys came out here and told you that. You don't have iron bacteria. Hardly anybody has iron bacteria, blah, blah, blah. See, I think that's the wrong approach. I mean, it's never a good idea to bash your competitors anyway. But there's something else that customer's telling you. Okay, they had competitor A come out and give them a quote, and yet you are still here. You're in their house. So competitor A may have done an okay job, but not such a good job that the customer wasn't willing to spend more of their time and still have you come out. So you still have a shoe in. You still have a chance. You still have a good chance, because if competitor A had knocked it out of the park, you wouldn't be in the house. You wouldn't be doing this water test. You know, so I wouldn't assume automatically, though, that they didn't like competitor A. That's where you ask more questions. You say, so the way I like to ask it, so you had competitor A out. Was there anything about, you know, any of the features on the equipment that you really liked? Anything that really stood out that made you super excited about, you know, the feature? And they will tell you, see, that's completely opposite. I mean, we have a lot of the same features everybody does across the board, right? So, and if there's one feature in particular that they have that you don't have, number one, if they didn't tell you who the competitor was and you know what your competition carries and what their features are, that will tell you automatically who the competitor was, you know. And number two, if there's a feature that they like that you don't have, that's good to know. That's good to be aware of so that you can overcome that, you know. So, I remember – when I was in sales, there was one of our big competitors that carried a system that had a modem that dialed in. The sales guys would really push that hard. This thing would check the water, and if there was a service problem, it would dial in and alert the office so that they, you know, before there was a leak or there was a problem or anything like that. Now, in reality, that company would end up disconnecting the thing because it would give all kinds of false alarms. They were constantly running service calls for stuff that wasn't broken. But it was a cool selling feature. It was pretty cool. It was a cool selling feature. We didn't have that feature at all. And so when customer, you know, I would run across that sometimes. They go, well, I really like the, you know, the ability that it called in and alerted for service. And I'd say, yeah, that is a cool feature. I know exactly the one you're talking about. That one's a pretty cool feature. I'm a gadget guy. I kind of like that myself. Of course, you know, the more stuff you add like that, the more stuff that, you know, is going to go wrong with it in general. And I guess for me, I would rather put in a system that is not going to have problems, that's not going to have the service issues, as opposed to having a monitor that told me how often I do, you know, and or something like that. You know, I'd word it that way. And maybe not exactly that way, but it would give me a hint of what the, you know, what I was going to be up against and that I needed to overcome. You know, I always think about when I bought my car, I went in, you know, some of you have heard the story before, but before I bought my current vehicle, I had a Ford Explorer. And one of the features that I loved most about my Ford Explorer was the keyless entry. And Ford was the only one that offered that. They're the only ones that had the push button keyless entry on that. And so I went to the Ford dealerships. And that feature really was the first thing that drove me to that dealership. You know, it's a small feature, but it was one that I used and liked, and that's what drove me to the Ford, to look for Fords. And, you know, yet, even though I really liked that feature, I ended up buying a Jeep Grand Cherokee, which does not have that feature. So that's not the only feature. Just because somebody else tells you that they really like the feature that somebody else carried doesn't mean that they're not going to like the features that you have on your systems either. You know, so you have to look at the whole package and consider the whole package. So any thoughts to add on that? Because I have another topic that I wanted to discuss today as well. Anybody else want to add to that? Again, this was your guy originally. Do you have any thoughts on that? All right, so I wanted to talk for just a second then about we've been talking a little bit about new construction the last couple of weeks, and I wanted to talk very briefly on a lot of these houses. When you go out to them, you'll lead, as they're being built, it's always a good idea to leave something, to leave literature, to leave something at the house, no matter what it is, whether it's a business card, or there's always a place in the house where, although, you know, as the house is getting done, as it's getting further along, where they put all the paperwork, the owner's manuals, the, you know, the service manuals, all the stuff that gets installed, they'll begin to put it in one place. And eventually, as the house even gets further along, there's usually that stuff all goes in a kitchen drawer in a cabinet somewhere, like a whole big pile of it. I remember when I built my house, one of the first things that I did is I moved all the stuff out of that kitchen drawer, and I started sorting it and filing it and reading. You know, I was excited about moving into my new house, really excited about it. And so I wanted to understand all the appliances and what I was doing and stuff like that. So I sat down and I reviewed the owner's manuals and the service manuals, and, you know, and I read about all this stuff. So I don't know that everybody does that, but all the stuff gets consolidated. It all gets put in a centralized place. But even before then, you know, there's usually some place. I like to leave something at the house every time I go. And what that tells me, I mean, if nothing else, I don't know how many customers have ever bought a system because I left a brochure. So I'm absolutely not leaving an expensive, you know, I mean, in general, salespeople like to try and use brochures to sell their stuff anyway. Okay. I mean, that's, they like the ones that have the, you know, the full color glossy 3-page thing that, you know, the big full page thing that slides open, and they, oh, this is so good. It says everything that I'm supposed to be saying to the customer. Well, you should be saying it to the customer. Nobody, no customer is going to sit down and read that entire full length, really beautiful, glossy, super expensive brochure. In fact, most likely it's going to get pulled out when, you know, when you go to clean that, when the workers are cleaning up that house and trying to make it look pretty so the homeowner can come through and see how awesome the house is later, that brochure is most likely going to be thrown in the trash with all the other stuff. On the other hand, leaving something, a business card, an inexpensive postcard, a simple brochure, something that can be glanced at and read in just a couple seconds, that one might give some benefit. A homeowner or maybe a worker might look at that. I have had that before. I've had somebody who was working in the house call me up because of a piece of literature they saw in the house, you know. But what mostly that literature does is it gives me an idea of how much activity is going on at that house. Okay, if the house is framed and I've left a piece of literature somewhere in between two frames or whatever, and I go back next week and the piece of literature is still there, that tells me that there's not been a ton of activity going on at that house. You know, that, same thing if I've left a piece, you know, the house is locked up. It's not done yet, but they put the doors on and locks are there, and you know, you're not going in a window somewhere. You know, the door's closed and they've got the little stick stuck in it so that it doesn't blow open. Yeah, you don't open the door and go into the house at that point. It's now closed down. You know, not unless you can go in if the workers are there. You have every right to be there then. But to go, you know, to go in when the house is empty, a lot of times there are tools left there and things like that. You don't want to put yourself in a position where you're being accused of taking tools either, or trespassing on the premises or anything like that. So, but you can leave, you know, you leave something in the door, like the entry door, and same thing, you come back by there, an hour later, you know, you have an appointment and then you drive back by the house and your brochure is gone, or your business card is gone, that tells you that there's been some activity at that house. And what do you do with that information? Well, you make a note of the time that that activity occurred, and you start going back there to try and catch usually the homeowner. That's who you want to talk to. You know, sometimes that activity may have just been a realtor or somebody that walked, you know, that's showing the house that evening or whatever. But it also could be the homeowner. And in fact, it likely is. At some point, you know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, when a homeowner is building a house, they are super excited. And as it's getting closer and closer and closer, I know when I built my house, we were out at that house every day, sometimes only just to drive by and see what they'd done. But if there had been, if there was obvious progress, I mean, just about every day we were at that house walking through and looking at it and seeing it. And as it got closer, you know, within a month, month and a half away from being ready to move into, we were out there measuring and counting for countertop knob or counter cabinet knobs, and, you know, making lists so that we could, you know, figure out what color paint we wanted on the walls in this, or carpet here, or, you know, where we were going to put this, or measuring for furniture or whatever. We were in, and when we went out there, we were super excited about it because, oh, it's getting close, we're going to be moved in. And it would have been the perfect time for a salesperson to come talk to us about something, you know, because that was on our mind as we were moving in there. But literature, you know, what literature do we leave? If it's on, you know, it needs to be relevant. Okay. First and foremost, right? If you're talking about if it's a house and there's no well, it's all city water, it doesn't make sense, a ton of sense, to leave a piece of literature that talks about a lot of iron removal, or, you know, unless there's iron in the city water or whatever. Maybe that's where you leave something that talks about drinking water, you know, shows a really nice faucet or a faucet selection, you know, the different types of faucets. Maybe you're talking about chlorine, you know, maybe get rid of, you know, why use a refrigerator filter or why use a refrigerator pitcher when you could have that for your whole house? You know, maybe there's something really simple like that, but just ask the question, I mean, what's the purpose of a brochure? It's to let, it tells you the information that, you know, there's been activity, but a brochure that you're leaving at the house is successful if it makes them curious enough to call you. Okay. The more you rely on that brochure to sell your equipment, you know, they see this big fancy brochure and they look at it and they're like, oh, this, somebody spent $4 on this piece of literature and it tells me everything I need to know. I think I'll call them and buy something. That happened never. Okay. That would never, never happen. Okay. What the brochure needs to do is sell the appointment. It needs to make them curious enough that they call you. Okay. It needs to have one, maybe two action questions on it that are relevant to what they are going to be thinking about at that house. So, you know, something like if it's city water and then, you know, you have a lot of chlorine, you know, why have a refrigerator pour through pitcher when you can have that water through the whole house? You know, something like that. Call with questions. Okay. You know, a tagline, something like that, the simpler, the better. If you are going to put something, so I used to send out, you know, in the building permits, you can get a lot of information off building permits. You can find out you can go, you know, it's public information. You can go to the Freedom of Information, do it, you know, through FOIA, you can go right to your local building department and get a list of building permits. And a lot of times they will tell you where the you know, you've got the address of where the new house is, but you also have the address and contact information of the person buying that house. Sometimes, and a lot of times, it's the contractor who's on that list, but a lot of times it's the owner, too. They'll put the owner on there. And so I used to send out a letter ahead of time, you know, just a two-page letter. I did put it on company letterhead. I made the title regarding water treatment at such and such house. I never put a business card in it, though, because somebody opens up a letter and a business card falls out, they know automatically it's sales and it gets round filed. So I never put a business card in it. My contact information was on the letter, the phone number right on the letter. And so I would send that out. And then if I saw the customer at the house, and by the way, that has to happen. The house is never going to buy anything from you ever. Okay. It's the homeowner that's going to end up buying something. And that homeowner works during the day. They're building a house. They work during the day. So you can go and you can get some information from the contractors there during the day. But if you're not willing to go out there in the evenings or on Saturdays, when the homeowners are likely to be super excited and going by their houses and doing all that stuff, you're kind of missing the boat on it. Okay. Cause it's the homeowner who's going to buy the system from you. That's who you have to be in front of. That's who you have to talk to. If you want to go through the gatekeeper, you know, some of the bigger houses in that, you know, we're working in New York, some of the bigger houses, they've got all the, you know, the contractors are, you know, some of them have building or like site managers. They're the gatekeepers, you know, you have to talk to the site manager about everything. Well, you want to get directly to the homeowner, go on Saturdays or on the weekends or on the evenings. I'm sorry. Weekends or the evenings. That's when that homeowner is going to be out there, and you'll recognize them because they'll have a couple kids with them. Okay. The site manager doesn't ever bring his kids to the site. Okay. You'll see the excited, you know, in the Hamptons, you'll see them driving like they're really fancy, you know, super expensive cars with a couple kids. But that's how you know who you're talking to. And they are excited. You know, they're excited. This is the perfect time to talk to them about, you know, have you guys considered what you're going to do for the water? No, I haven't even talked about that. Well, then let me help you. You know, who should I talk to about? You know, maybe they give you the contact information of the manager or whatever. So anyway, I just wanted to talk a little bit about that because it's springtime. Construction is starting back up. We are really getting back in there. And if you're not out there on working these new houses and this new construction, again, you're missing the boat. This is opportunity that is just begging to be had, and we should be out there really trying to generate those sales and those opportunities there. Any final comments or thoughts on that before we go? We've killed another half hour here. Any final thoughts? Okay, everybody. With that, then I hope everybody stays safe. Please be smart and safe. I hope everybody is already. And as always, I very much appreciate the opportunity to serve you in this way. And I will talk to you next week, if not before. So thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Take care.